very best, like no one ever was.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Everyone's talking about it. It's getting young people off their couches and into their neighborhoods, catching tiny creatures on their iPhones. We're talking about the new game Pokemon Go. Essential Pittsburgh associate producer Katie Blackley sat down with Shell Games CEO Jesse Shell to talk about the Pokemon phenomenon.
Certainly, it's a mobile game, so first thing you do is download it, and then step by step, it kind of gradually kind of brings you into the world of Pokemon Go. Now, the traditional Pokemon games are all about walking around a kind of virtual fantasy world where you meet and battle these different creatures, and you capture some of them, and they become part of your team, and they help you in these sort of creature versus creature battles. In Pokemon Go, instead, you walk around the real world where you're going to meet up with these different creatures and do battles and then catch some and sort of build your sort of growing collection of them.
So if you're not familiar with Pokemon at all, it's essentially a Japanese franchise owned by Nintendo, Game Freak, and Creatures. It started about 20 years ago as a game on Game Boy and eventually turned into a card game, a cartoon, a movie, the whole thing. The protagonist is a boy named Ash who travels around this imaginary world with his Pikachu and collects and sometimes battles other Pokemon or other what are referred to as trainers. Along the way, there are gyms where you can help your Pokemon grow strong, Pokestops to get supplies, and other interesting characters. So Pokemon Go has incorporated elements of that original game and inserted it into users' daily lives. Here's Brittany Kephart from Baldwin, who we caught up with playing the game.
When you encounter a wild one, you can use what's called the AR stands for augmented reality.
Yeah.
And it turns your phone's camera on, and you actually have to pan around to find him in the environment. And here I was in my bathroom, and it's sitting on a roll of toilet paper. Like,
Brittany says playing the game has gotten her off the couch and out exploring.
I've lived in Pittsburgh since 2013, and I have never seen as much of downtown and explored downtown as much as I have in the past week. I feel like I never had a reason to, and now, like, I've seen, you know, parts of the city that I've never experienced before, and it's really cool, like, and it's also helping me be more social.
So what exactly is it about this game, and what is augmented reality? Here's Jesse from Shell Games again.
There are two different terms, augmented reality and alternate reality, that we've used in the game development world for some time. Alternate reality games are games that involve walking around the real world. Augmented reality games are usually games that involve looking through some kind of camera and overlaying video game character content over your image. So, for example, in Pokemon Go, you might know that there's a Pikachu in the room somewhere, so you're going to point your camera and look around for it, and then what do you know? There he pops up, and you see him on the desk or under the table or wherever, and you have your little battle trying to capture him. So it's interesting that Pokemon Go is an alternate reality game that also has augmented reality content in it.
But what makes this game so incredibly popular?
This is a really good question, and I think this surprised the popularity of it. I think a lot of people thought it would be popular. I don't think anyone thought it would be this sudden pop culture phenomenon of the summer that it appears to have become.
We're back now with something that may explain any odd behavior you've seen on the streets recently. The smash hit mobile game app Pokemon Go has only been out for a few days. But it's already got.
We've had games like this a long time. Anyone who's ever done Foursquare, which is, I think, 10 years old now, the same company that made this, Niantic, they made a game called Ingress that's been around for, I think, 5 years. So this isn't a brand new technology. And, of course, Pokemon itself has been around for 20 years. So I think what we're seeing here is this coming together of we have a ubiquitous technology that is cell phones that are tracked, you know, smartphones. We have a company that's figured out how to make these alternate reality games, and they really understand how to do the technology and how to do the interfaces. And then we have a really popular franchise, and it just so happens that Pokemon is a perfect game for this because its whole fantasy is I'm going to wander the world and collect all these different creatures. And of course, that lines up perfectly with this. So we have a sort of a perfect storm of the right technology, the right team, the right IP. Releasing it in the summer made perfect sense because people have free time and they're willing to walk around outside. If you released it on a Wednesday in February, it would have been very different. So it's just sort of this really interesting perfect storm where it all came together at once. But I still think it's exceeded everyone's expectations.
Lindsay Petras of Next Gen Climate agrees and is planning to engage the demographic for social good.
Pokemon is just incredibly popular with millennial voters who grew up on Pokemon. So there's a little bit of childhood fun sort of coming back into play. Pokemon is for what? The way that Cabbage Patch Kids were big for kids of the 80s, Pokemon was is sort of a childhood fun item for the millennial generation. So as soon as we saw how popular, it was actually several of our recent college grads that came to us and said, hey, check out this Pokemon Go thing. Isn't this fun? How can we incorporate some of the voter registration work that we are already outside doing into what's happening around Pokemon Go?
She's not the only one. Tom Higgs, a teacher from Brighton Heights, explained that many local businesses are jumping on the Poke wagon.
Yeah, a lot of businesses are doing like 10 or 15% off if you show them your Poke app.
And
so,
if their business is close enough that you can reach a Pokestop or a gym, if you come in and you draw, like if you pull out your phone to one of the staff and drop a lure, they'll give you a discount too, or give you like a free piece of pizza or some kind of incentive to...
It brings people to.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if your business is right at a Pokestop, everybody is going there to eat just so they can drop a lure while they eat.
Tom said that they could save the economy.
Yeah.
We've eaten out more this week because we're walking around and we're hungry and we don't want to go home to miss any Pokemon.
That caught me. So we asked Jesse what he thought about this theory.
I think that people might be getting ahead of themselves. It hasn't been out very long. And we're all waiting to see whether is this game just the that cute fad that happened in July 2016. You know, was it just sort of that fun summer thing? What is this, the Flappy Bird of 2016, where people played it and then kind of forgot about it? Or is this the beginning of something that is a new play pattern that people engage with over a long period? And I don't think we know the answer to that yet. I feel certain that some people will stick with this game for a long time. But right now, I don't know the exact numbers. I would guess there's somewhere north of 100 million people playing this game right now. Maybe that's wrong, but there's somewhere, certainly in the tens of millions.
Asa Foster from Brew Gentleman in Braddock says he's seen people playing the game and hopes it contributes to community awareness.
There are quite a few in Braddock, and I think whatever gets people out there looking at more art, you know, walking around town, seeing some historic sites, I'm happy to.
Many nonprofits in Pittsburgh have crafted events inviting players to enjoy their space while playing the game. Brad Stevenson at the Carnegie Museum of Art told us about tonight's PokeGo hunt.
We hope that a percentage of the people who come actually find some meaningful connections to the work in our spaces, and maybe people who never have been here before decide, hey, you know what, this is a great space, and I should have been here before now.
All right, so now that we're a bit more familiar with Pokemon Go, we asked Tom to give us a few more of the specifics. Here he is telling us how to identify players.
Like, you'll see somebody kind of, like, walk back and forth, back and forth, and, like, that's one of the telltale signs that they're trying to collect Pokeballs or try to find, like, a Pokemon or hatch an egg. There's, like, big groups of people all with their phones out, just, like, looking around and just moving their arms back and forth, trying to figure out where different Pokemon are. Those are, like, some of the biggest signs. Most of them are pretty aware of what's going on. What's crazy is that there's a lot of people traveling in packs now. So you see, like, groups of, like, 5 to, like, 20 people walking in groups with their phones out.
Tom's pretty good. He says he's one of the highest-ranked trainers in his friend group, and it's a great learning opportunity.
Whenever people see that you're a higher level, then they're like, oh, what did you learn? What have you done? What have you caught? Like, so, like, I'm one of the higher levels of, like, my friend group. Everyone's always asking me, hey, how do I do this? How do I do this? So it's pretty coveted. I want to say, like, the higher you are, the more, like, people look to you for, like, answers in the game, because there's constantly new things that everyone's finding out.
I've heard of... Hey. You know, people being out late at night and the cops show up to see what they're doing because they look suspicious. And when they explain to the cops what they're doing, the cops pull out their phone, download the game, and start playing with them. So it's like, it's really neat to see, you know, there's people that, because I have a little bit of anxiety and I wouldn't normally talk to, like, strangers that I, you know, don't have a connection with, but I've seen people with their phones and I'm like, which team are you on? And it's, you know, it's making people a lot more social, okay. Which I think is what they intended, but like, it's really cool to see it actually happen.
Even if you don't connect with the creatures right away, Tom says you'll get there. You'll also get to know the terminology and what could help you advance in the game.
The point is a hotspot. There's a bunch of Pokespots down there. And like normally it's dead during the week, but it's just like people are like zombies with their phones just walking around everywhere. We counted like over 200 people yesterday when we were down there. It was crazy. Because normally like nobody's there after a certain time. Everybody goes home, but everybody's just running around downtown. So it's definitely a big difference. Like, you could almost say that Pokemon has actually put a nightlife in downtown Pittsburgh.
So we asked Brittany and Tom to give us 5 pieces of advice for any potential players.
Pick your starter Pokemon. Don't spend your Stardust. Hang on to all your modules until you have the server is stable, because the server goes down a lot.
My best suggestion is communicate with other players. I've joined a number of groups on Facebook. I follow some groups on Twitter, and just talking to people in real life, because that's been the cool thing, is I've met so many new people playing this game, and some people pick up hints and tricks that you've never even encountered, and it, you know, we're all kind of learning this together because they didn't give us a set instruction. So it's kind of like everyone's teaching each other how to play, and it's really a more fulfilling experience, I think, when you're getting involved with other people.
And go out with friends. Like, yeah, it's not as fun going by yourself. Yeah.
Pittsburgh is a particularly good city to play Pokemon Go. I asked Jesse Schell about it, and he said it's probably because of the geography's diversity. We have urban spaces, lots of water, as well as open land. He said we can expect to see games like this continue to roll out as technology evolves for smartphones.
People often talk about where is gaming going, as if gaming was some bus that went from town to town, but it doesn't do that. Instead, what happens is it branches out like a tree, and we're seeing more and more branches and new styles of play that aren't necessarily replacing old styles, but are adding to it. And what's exciting about this, we've had this sort of outdoor play before. Geocaching is a really interesting hobby that some people have had for, I don't know, 10, 20 years. This is now kind of a digital geocaching, and we've had this gameplay before, but it hasn't been mainstream. Now we have it mainstream. I think some of it is going to stay mainstream. And as people are getting new technologies, we're seeing new devices like Google's Tango devices coming out that are improving the nature of augmented reality gaming. I think we're going to continue to see new ways and new interesting ways that people play. In the long term, I'm sure 1 million people will keep playing this game. Then the big question is, will there be other games like this that people care about? And it's really hard to tell how it's going to go down, because if we look backwards at these things, we've had things that have showed up and been permanent. So I think we're all waiting to see, well, what is this? Is this just a summer fling, or is this a long-term play pattern that people will really engage with?
So if you haven't started playing Pokemon Go yet and you think that you might want to, now is the time. After all, the goal is to catch them all. I'm Katie Blackley, 90.5 WESA. Pokemon, it's you and me.
In a world we must defend, Pokemon.